sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. It was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
At each visit to the pediatrician, your baby is weighed, his height taken, and his head measured. You're given a percentile in which he falls based on his size, but what does that percentile really mean? How do you know if your baby is thriving, or if your baby's size is telling you that more is going on that needs to be addressed? I'm Dr. James Murphy, a pediatrician, an internationally board-certified lactation consultant, and you're listening to Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here!
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year. Welcome to Newbies, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through their baby's first year. I'm your host, Kristen Stratton. I'm also a certified birth doula, postpartum doula, and owner of In-Due Season Doula Services. If you haven't already, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You can also subscribe to our show through iTunes, so you'll automatically get new episodes when they're released. Sunny's here to tell us all about the ways you can participate in our show.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Newbies. So the other day, we got our first question submitted from a listener for our experts. So,
I heard that.
Yeah, very cool. And so I was real excited about that. And so you guys are participating in that segment, which I love. So that's our Ask the Expert segment. And if you guys have questions, you know, we all do as we have new babies and different things happen with our babies, go ahead and email those to us. You can do that through our website. And just tell us a little bit about your question, and we'll pair that up with one of our experts, and then we'll have that expert answer that question on a future episode, and we'll put it up there so everyone can benefit from that. We always want to know what your funny parenting oops are. So if you guys had something funny that happened, maybe, you know, it was a poop explosion, or, you know, something, maybe your baby made this funny face, or I don't know, something happened that you want to share it with our listeners, we would love to hear that. Again, go to our website and you can email it to us. For all of our segments, you can actually go to the website and the Newbies section of the website. So you go to shows, go down to Newbies, click on that. And you can see a complete list of the different segments you can participate in. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't want to just email something in, you can actually tell your story too. That's what our voicemail is for. So if you call 619-866-4775, you can go ahead and leave your question, use your own voice, and we'll put that on the show as well.
All right, so let's go ahead and meet our panelists.
Hi, I'm Brittany Chuferi. I'm 26. I'm a stay-at-home mom and training to be a birth doula. I have one baby girl, and she is 7 months old.
All right, Christine.
Hi, I'm Christine Zell. I'm a mother to two children. I have two boys, 3 and 7. I'm also a childbirth educator, a birth doula, and a lactation educator.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. It was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Okay, so before we kick off today's show, since we're talking about infant growth charts, I found an app that I thought was pretty relevant to our conversation today.
You're so resourceful.
I am, right? It's called Growth, which kind of sounds a little weird. But then Growth, and then it says charts for baby and child tracking. So here's what you can do. First of all, it's a free app. It's available on iOS. You can upgrade and spend $2.99 and get rid of all the in-app purchases if you're worried about your child, you know, going through and charging a bunch of stuff up, or if you just get annoyed with ads, you may want to take advantage of that. So here's the deal. So first of all, it asks you some basic information about your child and, you know, how old they are, their birth date, that kind of stuff. And then it provides you with different charts than you could look at. So the World Health Organization has their own infant growth chart. So does the Center for Disease Control. And you can basically select which one you want to look at. You can import your child's information if you want to. You can compare it to other charts out there and basically just get an idea for where your child sits, you know, as far as their, you know, growing is concerned, their growth is concerned. And I know when I go to the pediatrician office, I always like to look at the charts. Like, I know you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. I know we're going to talk about that today, but I always like to kind of see, you know, parents like to compare.
See for better or for worse.
Right? And so, and then I also just think it's interesting to compare against my other kids, which I also know is a no-no, but I still do it. If you upgrade the app, if you pay that $2.99, you get some other features where you can enter multiple children, and you, like, you can do exactly what I just said. You can plot them together, compare their different growth. I actually think that would be really interesting to compare my twins, because they're more apples to apples. You can also enter information for body mass index, which that's not available on the free version. Yeah, there's some other cool things too. You can import stuff and export and all that good stuff. So anyways, wanted to toss it to you guys here in the studio and on the phone and see, you know, is this something you think you would use? What do you think, Kristen?
I probably would do it just for the sake of remembering all this information, just because I am terrible at keeping track of all these papers that I get at the pediatrician's office.
Yeah.
Just for the convenience sake of being able to look back and say, oh yeah, that's right, that's where they were.
So instead of a baby book, you're going to be like, here, kid, look at this app. This,
yeah.
This is where you were.
This is where you were. Oh, you were so cute. You're just a little dot on a graph, and now look at you.
Right?
I think the only thing that would be confusing to a parent would be, which app do I use? Oh, and this is little Faye we have in the audience.
Little
so
Faye.
So if you hear little Faye just
she's
cooing.
Telling us what she thinks about
the
app.
Yeah, she's super cute. So we have a guest baby in the audience. In the studio. We're just so famous we have an audience now.
I know, right?
I would just probably be confused about which chart
to look at.
So we have the WHO, we have the CDC. They also have a preterm chart, which is helpful if you had a preemie. Then they have a WHO 0 to 2 years, CDC 0 to 3. So I think just as a parent who perhaps wasn't familiar with
all of that. If they hadn't listened to today's episode to have a better idea,
then I wouldn't know where to plot it.
Okay, so Dr. Murphy, let's talk to you about this. So why all the charts? And maybe, actually, are we going to talk about that later in the show? What's a brief, you know, I mean, idea or you know, brief explanation, I guess, of why we've got so much?
Like you said, we tell parents not to compare kids so closely that are all different, but everybody compares. And we have to have what we call within normal limits.
Okay.
If your growth is within the extremes of normal limits, 2.5 to standard deviations above and below the mean, if anybody and those who know what that means, then we're happy. And if your growth is plotting consistently, there's no need to get concerned.
Right.
But if we have some measure that says you're deviating from what's normal, or you've gone outside what we call normal limits, then we need to look closely to find out, is that mm-hmm. still okay? Or is there something really wrong here that we need to correct? And we have to find it before
we
correct.
Do you have a preference between WHO, the WHO chart and the CDC chart?
Well, the WHO charts came into being because of the exclusive breastfeeding baby was being mistreated, if you will, in the medical profession because they were being compared to the formula-fed babies. And so my eyeball somewhere along my career failed to now detect babies who were getting fat because every baby was fat.
Right.
And so they started to look normal.
Yeah.
So we had to put them on the charts to find out where they were. And then when BMIs came along for the older individuals, you know, to find out exactly how much extra fat tissue you have,
right,
and will this impact your health, then we were able to counsel parents more effectively as to what we need to do. If you're not in the normal range, everybody wants to know, well, why, what's going on, what's causing that problem. The breastfed baby in the first 6 months is pretty chubby usually. Mm-hmm. Some are even Humpty Dumpties by 6 months. You know? But in the second 6 months, then they thin out. They grow into their height and their head size, which has been maintained normally all along. So as they grow into that normal size that they're supposed to be for being breastfed, when you compare it to their relatively fat formula-fed babies, they look like they're not thriving.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, the physicians would say, you need to supplement your baby. We need to give extra food.
So
we need to get
fair?
This baby.
Yeah.
And comparison. If you lived in an Italian Catholic neighborhood like I did, every mother would rush out and say, your mama not feed you. Come to my house. I'm going to feed you. You know?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so, you know, if you want to play around with this app, you know, maybe not to, you know, really compare your kids and be like, why aren't you as big as your brother? But just for kind of fun, check it out. I'll put it up on the website. Again, it's free. Or if you want to get rid of those pesky ads, $2.99.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Today on Newbies, we're discussing infant growth charts. Our expert, Dr. James Murphy, is a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics, a fellow of the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine, president of the San Diego County Breastfeeding Coalition, served 1 year on the governing council of the International Affiliation of Tongue-Tie Professionals, is a member of the International Lactation Consultants Association, and an internationally board-certified lactation consultant. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Murphy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Murphy, what exactly is the infant growth chart, and how did it become a part of a well baby exam?
The infant growth chart is a way for the physician to measure, is growth for this infant, for the height, the weight, and the head size, all falling within what we call normal limits. And so we try to track them on the growth chart to make sure that the rate of growth is normal, because the rate of growth is what the chart shows. When you look at the curve, it initially goes up very rapidly and then keeps going slower and slower and slower, and that indicates that's the rate of growth of the baby. So if the rate of growth is normal over a short period of time, we can project that that's going to be normal over the long haul. And that's for each of those items allows us to assess where are we for the growth for that head size or length or weight. And so it's just a tool that we use that really helps us to know when we need to step in and start looking for something that's not right, and see if this baby is truly normal or has some problem.
So how are these percentiles calculated?
This is a population assessment. You have a huge number of individuals that must be measured. And so in that given population, we know what a standard bell curve distribution is. When you're outside the top 3%, lower 3%, you may still be normal because you're in that population, and some in that group are normal. But this is where most of the problems arise with growth, excess growth or insufficient growth. And so when you start to move outside what we're comfortable with as normal limits, then we need to look closer at that particular problem and see what we need to do. So percentile just tells you relative to everybody else in your population, where do you fit relative to height, weight, and head size?
And how often are these average weights, heights, head circumferences updated to accommodate the change in each generation?
This is a judgment call. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta is the government organization that's charged with following these growth charts. They're the ones who monitor how we're doing with these growth charts. So that's we originally had growth charts that were based on individuals who are much larger than the average individual. So the growth, the bell curve was shifted away from the mean for that population. So they redid the growth charts by doing population studies in the United States, including everybody, and reissued those growth charts. And so those became the CDC growth charts. Then the World Health Organization said, yes, but this is mostly formula-fed babies. And so we know that the formula-fed babies tend to be more heavyset and have more issues. So where's the growth chart for the exclusively breastfed baby?
Okay. Let's ask our panelists a little bit. Let's start with Christine. As a brand new mom, what was your knowledge about infant growth charts?
I knew nothing about them. I knew that at doctor's appointments, when I brought my son in for his well baby visits, they would tell me his percentile for where he was on the chart. And that was about it. And, you know, I have that marked in his baby book that he was, you know, 50% for weight, 80% for height. And that was about it. And then all of the moms that I knew, we would compare percentiles. Like that actually meant something between baby to baby. So that's all I knew as a brand new mom.
And what about you, Brittany? What did you know?
I really didn't know much about them. I knew that they existed. But other than that, and my, you know what, my pediatrician didn't even bring it up at her appointments. And then I finally asked him and he said, well, you know, we kind of shy away from telling our parents that because, you know, things can change. And then when parents see that there's a change, then they start worrying that their child's not growing the right way. So he didn't even really bring it up until I asked.
Yeah, and I honestly didn't know much either as a new mom. And I have three children. So the difference between my three children is just quite astonishing between my older two who are always in the 99th percentile, and I have my little guy who's always like in the 10th.
Yeah, well, most of the time the pediatrician will just tell you that growth is normal, and that pretty much ends the conversation because there's no concern of the growth that has occurred, so we don't need to go further than that.
And how would a mom know if her child is just genetically on the smaller or larger size versus having a medical problem that needs more investigation?
Well, the first thing is that things run in families. So the first thing, if the mom's concerned, she should consult the grandmothers. The grandmothers have the medical knowledge for the family and find out if that's a trend or a trait within that family group. Most of the time when moms find something, they come to us and we say, well, that can be normal or, you know, may not. We want to know what the family history is first. If we're not reassured by that, then we need to, we have extensive training in various syndromes, genetics, abnormalities. And so if we're going beyond that, then we will refer to specialists that we think can tell us the answer for the question that we have.
How would a mother who is exclusively breastfeeding know if she should need to supplement or change how her child is feeding based on the results of the growth chart?
Again, we try not to push too much on the growth chart. If it's within normal limits, we're not concerned. And for the exclusively breastfed baby, we're looking at the rate of growth, and we're looking at how is feeding going. Is the baby feeding all the time, or are we having regular relatively short feeding intervals and loading up, and then once you're tanked up, you can go for a good period of time before you need to do feed again. The amount of the volume of the stool usually relates to the calories that are going in. So we were very interested in how many stools, how large are they? So we estimate the volume of the poo. And then again, if that's within normal limits, we reassure and we're fine. So most breastfed babies just need to breastfeed. They don't need to supplement anything. If we're going to supplement a breastfed baby, we have mommy pump and give the extra milk that she has to the baby. And if the baby refuses, the baby's usually smarter than we are and knows that I don't need those calories. You know, put them away for later.
And we do have an entire episode all about baby poop. And Dr. Murphy's our expert for that one as well. So definitely tune into that one. How would a mother who is formula feeding know if her baby is receiving the proper nutrition based on this chart?
We try to educate moms that proper nutrition is really related to the growth chart for the exclusively breastfed baby. And it's a touchy subject when you've chosen to formula feed your baby. So you must use the regular charts or the from birth to two, you're using exclusively breastfed growth charts. And your baby then looks like they're getting fat because they are. And we want you to recognize that and not accept the baby's statement when he pulls away from the bottle, he's done. And you look at, well, there's still an ounce and a half in here. Don't give it. You know, follow the baby. It's like the breastfed babies do is when they're done, they're done, and you can't force any more into them. And so, unfortunately, with a bottle, you can. So we want mommies to just look at the charts to see how their babies are doing relative to our gold standard, which is the exclusive breastfed baby, and try to adjust to get as close to that as you possibly can.
Thank you. Well, when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about infant growth charts by learning more about the term failure to thrive. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We are talking with Dr. James Murphy all about infant growth charts. Dr. Murphy, what does failure to thrive mean?
Failure to thrive was originally intended to mean that when a baby is getting all the nutrition that they need, they're still not meeting the normal rate of growth for the height, weight, head size. They fall outside the 3% line and need an investigation. But as we live in the real world, sometimes it's income determines how much food is available, and the baby may be failure to thrive because he's just not getting enough to eat. Mother may be diluting the formula to try to make it go further and just not getting enough calories. So economic conditions can lead to a false failure to thrive just from not enough nutrition. This can be solved, of course, with our social services. The baby who is just being neglected has two problems. They may not be getting enough calories to grow, and we need to be loved and held and carried in order to have optimal outcome emotionally. And some babies that are being left to cry for long periods of time and not being their needs are not being addressed also can have growth issues and can look like failure to thrive. As I traveled around the world with the Navy and got to see other cultures, I saw that babies especially in the Asian cultures are carried constantly. Somebody always has the baby. And in the United States, this concept had to be reintroduced after our scientifically calculated way to feed your baby caused issues with nutrition and growth. And we now call it attachment parenting, which is really the natural way to raise your baby. And so picking that baby up and holding them and loving them, not letting them cry, et cetera, meets their emotional needs and takes that factor out of play. So then when we deal with a caloric need and emotional need, then we're left with medical problems. And so there are genetic syndromes that will cause growth to be abnormal. So we need to identify the common syndromes, the pediatricians be able to identify them in the office, and then the less than common ones, which are now the book on genetic syndromes is growing by leaps and bounds, so that we need to refer them to a geneticist if that's what we're expecting. But a simple blood test, the most common factor that we find that's medically related is problems with the thyroid. And so we have we screen for that at birth, but there can be a secondary problem with the thyroid later on that can lead to growth. So we have a panel of tests that we do for all the babies that are failure to thrive. We admit them to the hospital usually. We feed them well so that we know that people who are good at feeding babies are taking care of this infant. And if they can't get this infant to take the calories or get the calories in, then this is a failure to thrive. The parents are not... It's not that the parents aren't doing something that they should have been doing. It's a medical issue at this point. And the experts, we have that panel of things that we go through, find out where the problem is, and then the appropriate expert takes over to review that. This is usually done initially by the nutrition gastroenterology division. And then as we find out what's going on, we go further.
When would a provider suggest a failure to thrive diagnosis in an infant?
It's the rate of growth falls off suddenly. And usually the head size is the last thing to stop, to fall off the curve, the height next, and the first thing that goes is the weight. So as the weight is falling, and we can see that it's falling, we look for a reason why it is. If we can't find that, and the baby is consistently falling off the growth chart for weight, despite everything that we're doing, then we can, once they pass that 3% mark, then they're labeled as failure to thrive, and the standard protocol has begun, and we try to figure out, well, what is going on with this infant? This infant is lying outside the normal range.
What would some of the recommendations for treatment in a child who has been diagnosed?
The emotional factor that I mentioned, carrying the baby, meeting the baby's needs, not letting the baby cry, doing the a calorie count per day to make sure that the calories per kilo per day are at least at what normal babies need. And we increase that if they can in order to see if it's really calorically driven. And then it's just a matter of the tests that are on the battery for the failure to thrive infant. What's suspicious, what's normal, and then the treatment is tailored based to what we find.
And we'll open it up to our panelists. Christine, I know you had some experience with this. Would you mind sharing with us a little bit of your story?
Yeah. So my oldest son, who's 7 now, at his 12-month appointment, the pediatrician that we were seeing, which was I've never seen before either. This was at a hospital where we didn't see the same pediatrician necessarily every single time. She basically walked into the room and looked at his growth chart and said, he has failure to thrive. You need to stop breastfeeding. You need to put him on this prescription formula that, by the way, your insurance will not cover. And that was that. And so I was a little upset going like, well, what is failure to thrive? Like, I don't even know what it is. And I go home to research it, and it's talking about neglect, and it's talking about, you know, children who literally are not thriving at life. And I was mortified because here I am holding my baby. I am answering his cries. You know, I am feeding him, doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And my baby has failure to thrive. Like, what on earth is going on? And she was being kind of defensive towards me to where she wasn't treating me very respectfully. So I truly do believe that she didn't think I was taking care of my child. So I searched for a new pediatrician. And when I went to him, my son, you know, by that point, probably 13 months old, was climbing around the room, walking around, looking inside of the drawers, and just exploring the room. And he goes, I'll tell you right now, your son does not have failure to thrive. Because if he did, he would not want to be exploring like this. He wouldn't be interested. He wouldn't be going to mom and sitting on your lap and doing this, that, and the other. He simply is small. He's a skinny kid. And it wasn't a sudden drop off either. He was consistently about 20 percentile for weight on the growth chart, I think by like 3 months. And it did drop off in the last, you know, 6 to 12 months between that 6 months to where he was on the lower 3%. And still at 7, he's at 3%. So in my situation, it was just, I have a small child. And I did, as Dr. Murphy said, I consulted the grandmothers. I went to my mother-in-law and she said, oh my gosh, everyone thought I was starving your husband. And he's just small. So I did have that in the back of my mind going, well, this is how my husband was. Me and my brother were both very, very skinny children. You know, maybe it is just genetic. And so, once I went to that new pediatrician, he said, come back in 1 month and we want to make sure he is growing and that I see he's growing. And after that, I'm not going to speak to you about his weight again. So we went back in a month. He was growing and he said, okay, you've got a small kid and everything's fine. So,
yeah, I personally also have experience with that diagnosis with my youngest child. He's now 2.5. But at his 9-month well baby check, we saw that his weight just dropped off suddenly. He was still being breastfed. And then at that point, he was also taking in solids, but he really truly didn't grow weight wise from the previous appointment. And then his 12-month appointment, same problem. 15-month appointment, same problem. And you know, by the time we've got all these specialists involved in his care, we realized that he actually did have a genetic syndrome that was preventing him from growing. But the first thing they did was say, well, you guys must not be feeding him enough. We sent us to a nutritionist and said, oh, just put butter on everything and that'll get his weight up.
No way. Mm-hmm.
Just put butter and cheese on everything.
That's what I do.
I'm like, best thing for my son is butter.
Did you ask to see her diploma?
Yeah. My son's favorite food at the time was cucumbers, and they were like, smother it with ranch dressing. And
yeah,
I was like, are you
ranch.
Kidding?
Yeah, we got ranch
now?
Too. Yeah.
Give him pancakes and like chicken nuggets, all of this high fatty, unhealthy food. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am leaving this room right now and not listening to you.
Yeah, they give terrible advice. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Christine. And Dr. Murphy, what can you recommend to moms who may be struggling to know if they are receiving the right diagnosis and correct feeding recommendations for their children?
Well, we've already heard one solution. Find a second opinion.
Yes.
Okay. And that's perfectly normal. There, you know, any physician who objects to you getting a second opinion is not confident in their own opinion. So, you know, we should not in any way, shape, or form feel that we're being mistreated in any way by asking for a second opinion. That is always an appropriate alternative for any significant problem. And as we heard with this mom, I said the rate of growth is the issue, and you have to look at rate of growth. So even when we're in training, our residents would feel that somebody was failure to thrive, and they were breastfed, they'd send them to me. And when I plotted them out, we found that the rate of growth dropped until it got below 3%. Then it suddenly turned and followed the growth curve from then on, indicating that this individual was going to be a very low weight and therefore much healthier individual in the future than those who are up at the high end of the curve on the weight. They just have a better medical future. So they need to, first thing I would do is get a second opinion and find out more, research more about what the pediatrician told you is wrong and see if that really fits. And this is also after you've already done your family research, because that's so important to know what's going on with your family.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Murphy, and our lovely panelists for chatting with us today about infant growth charts. And for our Newbies Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of this show, as Dr. Murphy will explain about newborn screening for metabolic disorders. For more information about the Newbies Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Here's a question from one of our listeners. This comes from Shelby, and Shelby writes, I need some advice with infant reflux. Our little guy is 3 weeks old, and he's really struggling with this. He kicks, screams, and arches his back during feedings. He cries, and he looks like he's in pain when he burps. I've cut dairy, and he's also on medication. We're considering a visit to the chiropractor if this medicine doesn't start working. Any tips, advice, or words of encouragement are very much appreciated.
This is Dr. Tyson Perez. I am a pediatric and family chiropractor at Elevation Family Chiropractic in Carlsbad, California. Hey, Shelby, I wanted to answer your question regarding acid reflux and colic. It can be a really difficult thing for parents to deal with, and you mentioned that you had tried some of the medication and that you were considering going to see a chiropractor. I think that's a great idea. The chiropractor, what they will do is look at the neurological function of the child to see if it's working properly, because what can happen if there's a problem between the communication between the brain and the body, then you can see symptoms such as acid reflux, sometimes other things like gas and constipation and other things things associated with digestion. So the first and foremost, the chiropractor needs to do a nerve scan to see what's going on internally to see if chiropractic would be a benefit. And then if it would, the chiropractor would use gentle pediatric adjustments that are very, very different from what a standard chiropractic adjustment would be. So you can always talk to the chiropractor about that. I recommend seeing a pediatric chiropractor, and there's a couple ways to go about that. You can either contact me here at Elevation Family Chiropractic, and I can point you in the right direction, or the ICPA website also has a list of their chiropractors. You can go to icpa4kids.org, and you can type in your zip code, and they'll find a chiropractor in your area that deals with pediatrics. Again, that's icpa4kids.org. Anyway, Shelby, I hope this helped. I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting moms, Parent Savers for moms and dads with infants and toddlers, The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.